The major candidates for Jacksonville mayor take to the debate stage. More delays on the city's pension mess. And Rick Scott faces condemnation for his stance on climate change. Some of the biggest stories making headlines this week. Good Friday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Melissa Ross. First Coast Connect, always live on the radio. And now, catch our daily podcast on iTunes. Just ahead, all the biggest news of the week with our Friday Media Roundtable. You can get on the line now at 549-2937. Then later, we've got a look ahead to the best St. Paddy's Day block party around. We'll tell you all about it. All of that ahead this hour. But first, it's Friday, and our Media Roundtable is here. Fred Matthews, who blogs at The Examiner, here this morning. Hey, Fred.
Good morning, Melissa.
Larry Hannon of the Florida Times Union.
Always good to be here.
And in his last stop in Studio 5, Jeff Billman, sad to say, the outgoing editor of Folio Weekly. Good morning.
Glad to be here.
Lots of news to discuss from the week, but first this morning, the big story of the day. Few fireworks, but still a spirited discussion here in our WJCT studios last night for the first televised mayoral debate of the season. Did you watch it? Mayor Alvin Brown and challengers Lenny Curry and Bill Bishop all were on stage to discuss taxes and spending, crime, the poor, the human rights ordinance, and more. So, we're going to begin the hour right now with a discussion of the big debate. If you watched and you have some thoughts, we want your calls. 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet the show, or you can weigh in on Facebook. Fred Matthews, let's begin with you. What were your thoughts about how those three candidates performed?
Hold the line to your constituency and try to punch through if you're Bill Bishop. Give as much withering criticism to each of the others as you can. But for the other two, Curry and Brown, just hold the line. I'm your guy if you're conservative, and I'm your guy if you believe in faith-based this and faith-based that. If you're Brown,
Larry Hannon, did Curry and Brown hold their base?
I think if you favored any candidate before this debate, you thought that candidate won. They all, as Fred said, they all fought for their base. None of them really stood out, and none of them created a major gaffe either.
549-2937 to join the show as we discuss last night's mayoral debate. It's simulcast live on WJCT and First Coast News, and we want your calls on it. Jeff Billman, it's your last stop on the show. You are free to comment at length.
He's got nothing to lose.
You have nothing to lose. You're moving to Raleigh-Durham, sadly. We'll be sad to see you go, but what did you think?
You had mentioned that there's a seven-second delay button you can
there
hit.
There is. And this may be the first time we've ever used it.
Go Howard Beale on us.
The debate felt really small to me. It felt small. It felt there's no vision. I mean, you know, Bill Bishop, I think, spoke to me anyway with admitting that we need to raise taxes. Lenny Curry, you know, kept referring to go to my website. I did. Everything he doesn't really say how he's going to pay for anything, and he's not going to raise your taxes, not on my watch. So, you know, it feels really, really small. And, you know, is this kind of the, I don't know. I was screaming at the television by about 5 minutes in.
Let's take a quick listen to Bill Bishop's comments about his stance in favor of a half-cent sales tax increase to deal with the city's pension problems. Here's Bill Bishop from last night.
Look, nobody likes to say they're going to raise taxes. Nobody ever gets elected saying, I'm going to raise your taxes. Well, the unfortunate fact of life is we don't have enough money to pay the bills that have been accumulated going back decades. And all the 90-day emergency audits in the world are not going to find a recurring source of funds to pay for this stuff. It's not there.
Tim Gibbons popping into the panel. Tim Gibbons, I'm going to have to get on you about your... We start at 9 a.m. Now, what did you think about the debate, Tim?
I thought the word small was an interesting and right on point sort of description. You know, we all watch these sort of debates on a local and national scale. I don't think anybody truly expected that there would be, you know, news committed sort of thing. But it didn't give anybody who was looking for any new. There was nothing. I mean, it was the entire thing was scripted. I mean, if you had them each in separate rooms and, you know, had them just read their talking points, it almost would have been the same thing.
Right. Larry.
Yeah, I mean, I quite frankly, I'm not sure what the questions asked mattered, but I had this fantasy of just asking a gibberish question and seeing if they just stuck with their talking points if I'd been on the panel. But, I mean, the fact is that the first question that Curry and Brown were asked, they dodged the human rights ordinance thing, and they dodged it twice,
and embarrassingly so. Yeah. Like it wasn't a smooth dodge. It was, you know,
it was almost like they weren't ready for that, which surprised the heck out of them. It was
really.
Like, come on, you know,
Fred Matthews, what do you think about that?
They've answered the questions dozens of times now, both Curry and Brown. They've gotten their points down. They're not going to move from their base. And by their non-answer, they're telling you they would not vote for it. And they hope the city council doesn't send it to them. They don't want to see any parts of it. And it's a shame.
Yeah.
Because either you're for it or you're against it. If your religious conviction says that you cannot support anything that has to do with homosexuals and lesbians and gays, fine. Say that and stand by it and take the heat for it. And what makes this so pitiful is that it shows the cowardice of these two guys not willing to say what they mean in front of the entire community.
I remember having conversations with Mayor Brown probably about Mayor Brown, a year or so into office, where there was kind of a widespread belief that he would somehow backtrack a bit on his no taxes pledge. Well, you know, maybe he didn't mean, you know, this, or maybe he'd adjust it with fees or something. And no, he was very straightforward. But why I bring that up is because of the HRO, if he was going to have a principled sort of thing, I'm against taxes, I'm against the HRO. I mean, you can respect to a certain extent this is a principled stand, whether you agree with it or not, but at least commit to the stand.
Then let's listen to the other candidates briefly, and we'll go to your calls in a moment at 549-2937. Mayor Brown, of course, was defending his record last night and talked about the successes he's scored, the points on his scoreboard in his 4 years in office. Here's Mayor Brown.
Since I've been in office for the last 4 years, our reserves have gone up from about $133 million to $180 million in reserves today. We have a strong, vibrant city, and it's not because of government. It's because government is more effective and efficient and limited. It's because of the private sector putting people back to work.
Conservative message. Larry.
Conservative message. You can make the fact that Bill Bishop is the most liberal person in this race still amazes me.
Seriously.
I sometimes feel like I've walked through the Twilight Zone. But, you know, Brown is trying to reach out to a certain extent. You know, he met with the Tea Party as well. I don't know if that's going to work, but he is trying to get as many votes in as many different places as possible. But the question is, has he lost white liberal Democrats?
The follow-up to that is, who will they come home to in the runoff election, assuming that there is one?
Or nobody. I mean, you know.
They don't show up.
Right. Less turnout for the runoff than for the first election.
Yeah. I mean, no one is excited about this race except possibly a few Bishop supporters.
Yeah. The only enthusiasm I ever see is in the small cadre of, you know, progressive Bishop backers. I don't see.
I'll tell you what, though. There were a lot of people outside our studios last night, waving signs, chanting, cheering. There was a crowd of supporters for these candidates. Yeah. So that's something just to point out. Fred Matthews.
Well, you know, that is still the problem. And it's a problem facing Mayor Brown more so than Curry, because he has to get what would be his base support out from him. And I can just tell you that there just isn't a whole lot of enthusiasm among those districts 7, 8, 9, and 10 for this mayor. Mm-hmm. They just don't feel that enough has been done for them, even though he mentioned some programs in the Northwest Quadrant. Not enough has been done. He hasn't been seen enough by them. He's only just begun to go back and visit the churches this last weekend, and that was fairly silent. Even the church supporters that he had before are not standing four square with him as they did 4 years ago.
Why not?
Because there's nothing to stand four square with him about.
Yeah, exactly. I don't. Fred was saying earlier that they everybody appealed to their base. I can't see who Alvin Brown's base is per se. I mean, I don't know what he's appealing to. He's trying to close any ideological gap between him and Lenny Curry. If you just stared at a television or just saw transcripts, you would think that Alvin Brown was, you know, a Tea Party Republican. He wouldn't, he's not distinguishing himself in any meaningful way.
I'm always with both of them trying to make it sound like Rick Scott was their best buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Have they looked at Rick Scott's poll numbers lately? He's not that popular, even here in Jacksonville.
Well, isn't this a reflection, Tim, of the fact that the electorate in this city is somewhat in flux? And so it might be a little difficult to get a beat on exactly your sweet spot.
It's in flux, and the election that brought Alvin Brown into the mayor's office was also a very weird one where he assembled a coalition. You know, I don't know what his base was then exactly, but he assembled a coalition that became obviously enough to win. And that coalition is utterly fractured.
Yeah.
So he, you know, he doesn't appeal to them. But the people who, basically the Bishop supporters who had been Brown supporters, that's not enough to put somebody in office. But the, you know, the true hardcore conservative is kind of, you know, not going to go go for a Democrat.
Now, Lenny Curry several times last night pointed out that, in his words, he was the only conservative in the race. Let's listen to Lenny Curry.
For the last 4 years, your property taxes have gone up 14% under Mayor Alvin Brown. Councilman Bill Bishop, I appreciate your candidness. You are for tax increases. I'm against raising your taxes. We are in financial disarray, and there's conversations about raising your taxes. Not on my watch.
Well, it's I mean,
go ahead,
and,
Fred.
In the same breath, he wants to put 147 more cops on the street. Like, that's free money that just popped out of the ground.
That is somebody who covered City Hall for a while and, you know, sat through all of those budget discussions. It baffles me that, honestly, I think it's almost disrespectful to the electorate to go out and say, we're going to spend all of these money on things. Well, how are we going to find it? We'll dig in the couch cushions.
Right.
You know, I mean, Brown basically said that. And, you know, you can say what you like about his performance, but he came in, he promised to do it. He came in, he looked for money, you know, he cut some jobs. And I mean, honestly, at some point, how much more can you cut?
Right.
I mean, playing on raising taxes, and the only tax you can find to raise that's raised is property taxes, is ridiculous, given the fact that since 2009, when everything broke down and all of our property property values went to the toilet, everybody was hoping that their property would increase. And as it increased, the taxes are going to increase. That had nothing to do with the current administration. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of smoke and mirrors you do, because that's the only tax he could find that was raised. And that had nothing to do with the mayor.
Well, a lot of calls meanwhile as we discuss last night's big debate here at WJCT, also simulcasting on Channel 25. Did you watch the debate? We want to know what you think. And we'll go to your emails and tweets in a moment. The number to join us, 549-2937. Jennifer in Mandarin. Hello, Jennifer. Good morning.
Good morning. I think the word dodgy sums it up. So, you know, I agree with this couch hunting for coins thing. I think that's ridiculous, and it seemed to me like the only substantive answers were really ones that aren't very favorable. But, you know, I think a little bit more tax payments might raise some of the money that we need, but it just seems ridiculous. And one of your panelists made a comment about how it makes people feel when they listen in and watch these debates. They want to get a little bit of a feel for who are they voting for, and when they just parrot the same old answers, it's offensive, you know? I mean, to say that somebody else, I can't remember how many times Curry said something about how many times this money has just appeared, and I'm going to do this audit over and over. I don't know. I mean, it feels like he's talking to second graders, and I just, I'm tired of it all. And I actually, it was from your show a month or so ago that I started listening to what Mr. Bishop had to say, and I'm very interested. So that's where I am.
Thanks, Jennifer. Anybody wanted to jump in before I go to the next call?
Yeah, real quick. I mean, I think one of the things that Bishop landed pretty well was his bit about, you know, Brown's accounting gimmicks and trying to, I mean, he's doing the same thing with the pension and trying to figure out a way to get, you know, JEA in there, but it's not a tax increase and it won't raise your utilities. There's a real sense, I think, and he did it with the budget when city council ended up raising taxes. He did something sort of similar, I believe. You know, and there, I think Lenny Curry, to a large degree, would be a continuation of that. He's promising the moon and no new taxes.
Well, we haven't had a city councilman elected a mayor since Jake Godbo.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's like becoming trying to run for Congress and becoming president. Barack Obama was the first in decades to become president from out of Congress. It just legislators just don't get there, partly because they have a trail and a record you can point to.
Sure.
And that's the problem. That's one of the things that's haunting Curry right now. He has a record to point to.
But he's not a politician.
No. Yeah. He's a businessman.
I'm stuck talking about Bishop. I'm sorry. Did I mention Curry?
Yeah, meant Bishop.
He's the guy with no record at all, right?
Okay. Five,
not
four.
A politician.
Oh, my goodness. Did you watch the debate last night? Call us up. 549-2937. Mac downtown. Hey, Mac. Good morning, Mac.
Hey, good morning. This is Matt. You almost got it.
Oh, sorry. They told me it was Mac. Pardon us.
Yeah, it's okay. It happens all the time. You guys did a really good job last night. I just wanted a superficial answer. Who won? That's all I want to know. I watched it, and my personal opinion is just mine. But I want to know what your panel thinks on who actually won that debate.
All right, Matt.
I got a bunch of
nobody.
Emails.
Thank you.
I got a bunch of emails from the campaign saying they all won.
Yeah,
and
we know who lost.
I looked through the the tweets last night with the hashtag JaxPaul. It was predictable. The people that liked their respective candidates all said, "My guy won."
Yeah,
yeah.
No one stood out. No one committed a major gaffe. It was really in the eye of the beholder.
And I think, I mean, Bishop's entire strategy was sort of predicated on, I'm going to show up in the debate and I'm going to be the smartest one in the room and I'm going to blow everybody away and then I'm going to get all the support. I don't know that happened.
He reminded me. Remember the old Michael Dukakis sketch where John Lovitz played him? And
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
That was kind of Bishop last night.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm losing to these guys.
Doran on the West Side. Doran, good morning.
Good morning. I want to just make a couple quick comments. I thought that, first of all, the production by WJCT, I think, was superb. I think the national...
Thank you.
I think the national format should follow what you guys did. I thought the format was perfect. The underwhelming part of it was that there was nothing really said. And I know we've heard that already today. But what struck me was that this is a competition between people who are really just maintenance managers versus visionaries. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing progressive, nothing transformational that was stated. It was just, I'm going to hold on to the status quo, and I'm going to prevent any new taxes or anything really new or big or taking advantage of the real potential that this city has. And I think that's what a mayor should do. Last point, I think it would be interesting for at least one of the candidates to look at what Utah has done with their legislation as far as LGBT inclusion is concerned. I think they struck a very wise balance that could actually pay off in a place like Jacksonville.
And they got the LDS church to support it.
Progressive LGBT population. Those are my comments.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you
Thanks,
later.
Thanks, Doran. Yeah, and as you just said, Jeff, the LDS church in Utah, hardly a bastion of progressivism supporting that. That LGBT measure in Utah. We'll go ahead, Larry.
I was going to make the point that in a few months, Jacksonville will be more socially conservative than Utah, which is not something I ever expected to say.
Well, we have a lot of tweets and comments on Facebook. Mickey tweets the show. We have four conservatives running for office, of which Bill Bishop is actually the most progressive. Yet there is a fourth candidate, Omega Allen. She was in the audience last night. Lenny Curry invited her as his guest. She was not included on the debate stage because she did not meet the polling threshold. We have an email from the LGBT PAC letting us know their statement. When asked about adding sexual orientation to the HRO, the answers provided by both Curry and Mayor Brown were little more than acknowledgments that a question had been asked. Councilman Bishop was the only candidate to directly answer the question. So, as they've already made plain, they'll be supporting him. Mm-hmm. And lots of comments on Facebook. Let's see. And quite a few in favor of Bill Bishop's performance. Steve on our Facebook page, Bill Bishop is clearly the guy for the job. And he showed that last night. So did Bill Bishop do himself some good last night?
He didn't hurt himself. He may have done himself a little bit of good, but I don't think it was not a transformational performance.
I think people were expecting something more.
Right.
The caller that mentioned vision, I thought was interesting because again, going back to the last mayoral election, that was what Brown got. People thought Hogan didn't have a vision. They thought Brown did, and that makes people get kind of excited. He's dashed their hopes because they don't feel he's been visionary.
Right.
But the slate now has nobody who has that sense of vision. I think Bishop is trying the most, but last night didn't hit that point that you'd say, oh yeah, that's the
also
guy.
He's also very very sort of technocratic. He'll you know, the first time I talked with him, he went into this like hour long deviation on the finer points of Mayor Brown's budget and why he didn't like it. And it wasn't, you know, the big policy stuff. It was sort of the nuts and bolts of legal language. And, you know, I think people want vision. I think that's the sort of the key word.
Yeah, Jim tweets the show. I hate to break it to all the Bishop fans out there, but most people in this race will not be single issue voters. Fred.
Well, that's true. And I hate to also break it to those folks who wanted Omega Allen in on the debate last night. I have to tell you, with the first question out of the box, she would have been a no vote on both on this show and in debates in public at the St. Paul Amy Church gathering. It was just her and Curry together for about 30 minutes. Her answer was no. She wouldn't vote for it. She's not in favor of it.
She has since changed her position, though.
Well, I guess
she has
we'll
since
hear about
changed
it.
Her position.
To a yes?
She has since come out and said she is for a condition. She's for a limited update to that human rights ordinance.
What is
how,
that?
How limited?
She supports adding
sans font instead of
no. She came out and said she supports updating it to protect against discrimination for gays and lesbians, but was not sold on the gender identity and expression part, which was the sticking point last time. Too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Half a loaf. I guess that will pass to count. I guess we can do that by executive decree.
Yeah. Dave on the north side. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Go ahead.
Thank you. You know, what I'm hearing is an awful lot of disaffected voters, and I'm just curious as to what would happen if the election laws were changed so that a person would not be elected to office unless they received 50% plus one of the eligible voters rather than just of the votes cast. And those that didn't meet that criteria in an election would be thrown out and try again.
Thanks, Dave.
Sheer anarchy loosed upon the world.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Getting people to turn out. we're expecting, what, a 30% turnout?
I'd be surprised if that.
Holland said 25 is what he's expecting.
Yeah, a small slice of people is going to decide this election.
And that's why turnout's going to be the key, is if you get your base of supporters out, you're probably going to win when it gets to the second round.
But that also gets to that enthusiasm thing, where you talk about the Mayor Brown going to the churches, you know, this past weekend. I remember, again, the last election, there was, you know, busloads of people being taken to the polls for early voting. There's not that same. It's still happening, but not the same level of enthusiasm.
But they'll still do souls to the polls the Sunday before. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
549-2937, Lucy in Jacksonville. Hello, Lucy.
I just wanted to say that I personally thought Bill Bishop, and I'm a staunch Democrat, but I felt Bill Bishop definitely is the go-to man. He has a plan. He did say what needed to be said, and the other people were just skirting around, you know, being political or whatever. And I'm very much in support of an updated public transportation and maybe using that port money to connect the airport and the colleges with a light rail transit that would totally take care of your downtown. So, you know, sometimes you have to think of how it benefits your community more so there's a port in Savannah and one in Miami. I don't know if Jacksonville can garnish the money it needs.
Thanks, Lucy. Thanks for the call.
It's a great idea, but it's going to cost a lot of money, which we don't have to do a light rail system from the airport to the...
Not on my watch.
They usually run about $500 million.
Yeah.
Sometimes more.
Mm-hmm. 549-2937 calls from across the listening area this morning. Jeff at the Beaches. Hello, Jeff. What are your thoughts?
Hey, it's Chuck from the Beach. They got that wrong.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. That's okay. I was going to say that the human rights ordinance, I wish we could pass that. I think that's the term for it. But as far as who I think I would vote for, it would be Alvin Brown. I like his stance on government and business, et cetera. But we talk about the progress we've made. Think about this. We are not Milwaukee. We are not Detroit. And we are not Chicago. And that's a good thing. And I'm very grateful that we've had a mayor that's kept us and a governor that's moved us in the right direction. So I'm thinking I'm going with Alvin Brown.
Thanks, Jeff. You. Conrad, also at the beaches. Hi, Conrad. Good morning.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Good. Listen, I wanted to call in and tell you that I'm really disappointed with Brown and Curry as candidates. Neither one of them seemed to answer any questions last night. They just gave standard platitudes, mm-hmm. which seems to be the way of most politicians today. Bishop, on the other hand, seemed to respond to the questions, answer the questions, and so, candidly, I'm leaning strongly in his direction right now.
All right. Thank you, Conrad.
I think it's worth noting that both Brown and Curry have brought in sort of outside national help to run their campaigns, and Bishop's mm-hmm. is a little more organic.
And it's interesting how you can see that reflected in everything from the way their advertising is done to their social media accounts. It very much mm-hmm. has this outside, big race, elbow throwing.
Right.
There was a national reporter in the studio last night from Bloomberg, Dave Weigel, covering this campaign and that debate because it in a sense this race has been nationalized, Fred.
Well, it is. I mean, this means a lot, certainly to the mayor's career beyond mm-hmm. this second term that he gets. Where does he go from here? If everybody's looking, of course, at the Clinton campaign, if that takes off, what does that mean for mm-hmm. for our mayor? And as Curry intimated last night, well, you've got connections in the Barack Obama campaign all the way up. We should be able to get more money for dredging. So, I mean, those things are already ingrained. And it is one of the main elections that are happening right now in the national scene. Mm-hmm. I don't think there are very many other mm-hmm. local elections taking place with this kind of significance.
It's also just kind of weird. I mean, when you have the, you know, Republican, you know, just listening to the callers, you have the Republican who's getting the Democrats to vote for him and the Democrat who's getting the conservative Republicans to vote for him and the party head who's not a politician. Yeah, right. I mean, it's just
everything's a little topsy-turvy. Yeah.
The Democratic mayor is you know, trying to
get
hug
the
Rick Scott as tightly as humanly possible.
Yeah. Was anyone else surprised when Curry referred to Brown as having Barack Obama being his close personal friend? I've never seen those two together.
No, the mayor hasn't been in town accidentally.
Yeah.
Coincidentally,
yeah.
a lot. When the president has come, right. he, you know, the mayor
yeah,
just...
Alvin Brown's ties are much more to the Clintons.
Yeah.
The Clinton world, not the Obama world.
As far
world.
As I know, he has no ties to the Obama
he
administration.
He has no ties to the Obama administration. But it was a nice shot for those people who didn't know that.
Yeah.
If you didn't know it. He's black, he's his president, so let's go ahead and paint it with a brush.
Oh my gosh. You know, you can never be bored listening to our Friday Media Roundtable here on First Coast Connect. Let's go to Brian.
That's exactly
Hi, Brian.
What it was.
Go ahead, Brian.
Okay.
Hey, Brian.
Hi. So the thing that I think is very disconcerting is that you know, Lenny Curry said that, and he said it point blank, burdensome environmental protections. Mm-hmm. And I really just feel that, you know, I mean, for a community that has been saying, you know, we want to basically make our natural resources like one of our main draws here for the St. John's, that is a big old red flag. So I don't know how other people feel. And I feel that Bill Bishop, I want to keep in mind that he voted to do the scoreboard and to support Shad Khan in the redevelopment wanted to do the redevelopment of the land. I can't even think of it.
Landing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll take my call up the air.
Thanks, Brian. All righty. Feel better, by the way. Okay. All right. Well, you know, lots of calls on this topic. And for those that didn't catch the debate last night, we're going to rebroadcast that mayoral debate tomorrow here on 89.9 at 4 o'clock. So tune in on the radio tomorrow at 4 if you missed the debate. Now, a few other news and notes from the week. Also making headlines, Jacksonville City Council President Clay Yarbrough is being accused of playing politics with the pending police and fire pension deal that came up in the debate last night. There's been another delay in the final vote of the measure due to concerns Yarbrough raised about the mortality tables that show that retirees are living longer lifespans. This is a bit of an arcane dispute. But the chair of the Jacksonville Retirement Reform Task Force, attorney Bill Shy, has gone on the record saying that Yarbrough should step down, that he's playing politics with this important matter. Larry Hannon.
This close to the election, everyone's playing politics. Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to get a clean vote, you know, they should have tried to get it to the council well before now. It's I'm not defending Yarbrough. There's probably some truth to it, but this close to the election, everyone has political calculations.
I am somewhat surprised at just the blatantness of it, though.
Right.
I mean,
right.
This isn't, up till now, there's kind of been a fig leafish sort of, well, you know, the committees have to look at it, or we have to examine the deal, or let's, right. you know, muck around with JEA some more. This was basically just, election's right. coming up.
We'll do it afterward.
Yeah.
Fred.
I mean, that's what it is. This is, you know, punching elbows, sharp elbows. We're going to stop this. We're going to slow it down. I mean, we're not going to give this guy a win if we don't have to. And you know, the only thing they can't decide, they won't decide on, and that definitely won't be decided on, is the funding mechanism will not be decided on until after the mayor's race. Now, everybody knows what they're going to have to do as far as funding that gap.
Right.
They can approve this part of it easily, but that funding gap is not going to be approved until after the mayor's race, general election in May.
The question I have is honestly, how much does this matter? The type of person who's going to vote for Brown because he got the pension deal through, it would basically vote for him. They'd look at this stunt and go,
yeah.
You know, it's a weird.
Yeah, and the new UNF poll that came out on this race found that the pension deal is not near the top of voters' concerns. At the top of the list was the crime rate.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that, you know, we have an elected sheriff and arguably it's not the mayor's, you know, core responsibility anyhow.
Right.
Which is something we may have to revisit. If we continue to have this debate, this petty debate between the sheriff's office and the mayor's office over who didn't give me money, when we have a constitutionally elected officer in the sheriff whose responsibility is to get his money, protect his officers and the policemen, we shouldn't hear this constant crying over the mayor didn't give me money.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard this before, and it just gets to be a little ridiculous. Well, maybe we should not have a constitutionally elected sheriff. And maybe we should just have a police chief, let the mayor appoint him, and the city council, and they give you what you want.
Brown floated that idea in the first or second year of his administration.
And I believe Peyton did, too.
Yeah, he was going to call it a commissioner, which love because it makes me think of Batman.
Unfortunately, we can't do it because we're a consolidated government, and in fact, the sheriff is over the entire county. We have all these other police chiefs who are appointed, so unfortunately, we can't do it.
Yeah,
but it just gets to be tiresome to continue to hear this crying over something that is your job to do. You lobby the city council. You get your own lobbyists and lobby the city council and get your money for your officers and stop telling everybody that this guy wouldn't give you, he cut my money. He did not cut your money.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't fight for your money. You didn't fight for your officers.
I think Fred should run.
No.
That would be awesome.
That was a very quick no, Fred. 549-2937 to join our Friday Media Roundtable and talk about the biggest stories of the week. Now, did you hear about this whole flap over Governor Scott and the alleged banning of the term climate change in Tallahassee? Well, now Secretary of State John Kerry is saying that elected officials who ban the term climate change are unwilling to face the facts, taking a big dig at the Governor Scott administration. Kerry, in a speech before the Atlantic Council, a Washington think tank, says, no matter how much people want to bury their heads in the sand, it won't alter the fact that 97% of peer-reviewed climate studies confirm climate change is happening and that human activity is involved. Scott has denied multiple published reports that he's banned his officials from using the terms climate change, and global warming. But former officials have told the AP and the Florida Center for Investigative Reporting they were told repeatedly not to use the term, even though Florida is considered the most vulnerable state in the nation due to sea level rise that's expected.
Don't you normally play the music before you do the only in Florida thing? This entire story really is a Florida man thing come to life. God,
yes. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, Larry.
I find it interesting that people have compared Governor Scott to Voldemort from Harry Potter all these years, and now we have the environmental problem whose name cannot be spoken.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The politics on this seem to have shifted because Scott was very quick to deny these published reports. He was very quick to say, no, we haven't banned this
term. Yeah, because it makes him look, stupid. And it's interesting because I honestly doubt that he issued a ban. That just sounds, of course he didn't issue a ban.
He just told people
not to say it. Right.
And it's possible this came from his former chief of staff or someone below him. I mean, oftentimes you have middle management people who are sometimes even more ideological than the boss who do these things, and the top person never knows about it. But at the end of the day, it comes back to Scott because he's
Jeff.
The top guy.
But,
he sets the tone, and this wouldn't be happening if Rick Scott gave a damn about the environment or about climate change in general or about Miami sinking into the sea.
Did anyone, when they saw this report, think, oh, no, that can't be possible?
Exactly. You just saw it and you said, okay.
Yeah.
549-2937. Let us know your thoughts about this whole climate change flap. Chip on the north side. Hi, Chip.
Hi. I'm sorry to deviate and go back to the mayor's debate. I haven't heard it brought up about the toll roads that are being put in Jacksonville. I know that they're being put in, but my recollection is that the sales tax was increased many years ago to get rid of toll roads in Jacksonville. I just haven't heard that brought up, and honestly, that's something that would help to decide my vote for a couple of weeks from now. I wonder if you could shed some light on that.
Sure, Chip. Thanks.
If I recall correctly, the mayor was both for and against those. So if that helps, he has a firm position on both sides.
Yes, it's a state issue. However, these are state-run. It's Interstate 295. Mm-hmm. The Florida Department of Transportation is putting these in. The city government has no direct say over this. It's the state that's doing it. Now, the mayor hasn't really fought it either, but, it's the state getting revenue, and when that sales tax was approved 20-odd years ago, it was the city that basically committed to never having toll roads anymore. It's to a certain extent apples to oranges.
And as long as they don't appear again on the Fuller Warren Bridge over here, which was a big obstruction, if you don't get one back over there, it's not going to be that big a deal. By and large, Brandon Field, Chafee Road on the outskirts where the growth is going, that's where these toll roads are going to show up at. It's not going to be that big a deal yet.
And the only one that's coming soon is 295, which is going to be individual lanes. You'll still be able to drive 295 without getting on them. These Lexus lanes are for people who want to move faster.
That's right.
DOT is doing the same thing across the state. I think
Orlando's
part of
had
a
it
massive,
for a long time.
Well, no, they're just about to start a.
But
like
they've
a
had
massive,
the Sun Pass for a while. Yeah.
And 95 has in Miami has those lanes as well, which actually work quite well. I was surprised when I went down there the first
Lee
time.
Lee on the west side. Hi, Lee. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning. Just a quick diversion, I guess, and a question. Is there any truth to the fact that there is a consideration by the city council to change the 10-year term from two terms to three terms coming up after the election?
I don't believe so, Lee. Term limits are pretty well accepted across the board, but thanks for the question. Ricky on the north side. Hello, Ricky.
Hola, ¿cómo estás? Gracias. Listen, I think Mr. Scott is failing to understand that climate change is not just, what he thinks. I mean, look around. I mean, the Himalayas, the great ice glaciers, why are they melting? What's going on? So I think the fact that, and not only that, I think that fact of him requiring his associates not to use those terms shows, the censorship and the denial that we are having some serious problems. And that's all I wanted to point out.
Thank you so much for that, Ricky. And as Tim pointed out, we might as well play the music when we talk about these things. Well, guess what? It's time to do that. It's our weekly roundup of the strange, bizarre, and just plain ridiculous from across the Sunshine State. Luckily, there is never a shortage of material. Here it is for you right now. Only in Florida. Only in Florida do churches get into trouble for hosting naked paint parties. The Life Center, a spiritual community, has been operating a seven-day-a-week party called Amnesia since February 28th, featuring the sexiest ladies on the beach. A sign on the door says events are alcohol and drug-free, but the sheriff over there says the parties are a slap in the face to taxpayers. Mm. Patrons are charged a donation of $20 on the wall. Inside are T-shirts emblazoned with obscene gestures and signs that say, "I hate being sober." This has led the property appraiser to revoke the church's tax-exempt status.
Jeff, how can you be leaving, Jeff? I mean, seriously.
How can you leave this behind, Jeff? Only in Florida do massive gators... Only in Florida do massive gators stop a golf game in its tracks. An incredibly big alligator that some say looks a lot like a dinosaur was spotted last weekend on a course in Englewood. That's the Gulf Coast area. Some even question if the reptile was real, but the picture has been shared thousands of times. The gator was spotted on the number 7 green, moving from one pond to another. I saw the photo myself, and you could not even believe it.
No.
And finally, only in Florida are beer drinkers now raising a glass to the infamous Florida Man. The Sunshine State is known for its crazy crime stories. If a headline starts with Florida Man, it's usually front page news. And the Florida Man phenomenon has grown to a popular Twitter handle, which we typically use for our source material every Friday. And now there's even a microbrew. Cigar City Brewing in Tampa is paying homage to Florida Man with its new Florida Man Double IPA, available at its tasting room. The bottle pictures the same mugshot that's recognized as the Florida Man Twitter account profile picture.
You should get a couple of them here for, you know, when we do only in Florida.
That's a good idea. You know what? You've given me something to plan on. So be on time, though. And I'll bring you a Florida Man beer, Tim. How about that?
That works for me.
And thanks, Tim, Fred Matthews, Larry Hannon, and Jeff Billman. Thanks for being on the roundtable all this year. And good luck in Raleigh-Durham.
Thank you.
Still to come, St. Patrick's Day is just around the corner. We'll tell you about the best party in town next.
WJCT's Travel and Entertainment Auction is where you'll find over 300 items, most starting at 75% off at auction.wjct.org. Packages include lodging, attractions, dining, recreation, beauty, and more. Bid now. The auction continues through March 16th at 9 p.m. Log on to auction.wjct.org for more information.
Called him the Candyman.
Staffers knew what a VA doctor was up to, but no one was listening.
I said that your own chief of psychiatry hands out narcotics like they're candy. And the director sat back in his chair and laughed.
Next time on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. Sunday at 1 on WJCT 89.9.
Congratulations to writer James English, winner of the first quarter of The Square. Now it's your chance to show off your art, whether it's music, visual art, sculpture, poetry, and more. Go to wjct.org/The Square, check out the amazing local talent, and submit your work now.
When a mama and daddy moved into the house across the street.
The Florida Legislature is in session, and Capitol Report is your nightly connection to what's happening in Tallahassee as lawmakers debate and decide issues that affect all Floridians, such as expanding health care and gambling, protecting the state's water resources, private versus public schools, and prison reform. Hear Capitol Report each weeknight during the legislative session on this Florida public radio station.
Weeknights at 6:30 on WJCT 89.9.
Well, finally, this hour, it's time to get excited about Jacksonville's biggest St. Patrick's Day street party. Yes, can you believe it's almost St. Patrick's Day? Make sure to wear your green next Tuesday and stroll along Margaret Street in Five Points. Scooter Cavins, owner of Moss Fire Grill and O'Brothers, and Rachel Brown, also with the restaurants, are here to tell us all about this great event. Ladies, good morning.
Morning. Good morning, Melissa.
Scooter, morning. This is such a fun event. You've been doing it for a few years now. St. Patty's Day is the day to get out and wear your green, drink that green beer, have some fun. Tell us all about this event.
Well, Melissa, this is our seventh year of providing this event in the community. And our first St. Patrick's Day party was in 2009, and it was such a blowout that we decided that we had to do something a little bigger and more controlled. What do you think, Rachel?
Yeah, that first year, we just had people come into the restaurants, and it kind of got a little crazy.
So. A little tough to manage.
Yeah, a little bit. So then they came up with the idea of actually closing down the streets, and it's been a great celebration ever since.
Yeah, people love a block party, a street party. The atmosphere loosens up. People can walk around on the street, walk around with an open container, in this prescribed area. Yeah.
Melissa, that's right. And my husband and business partner, Drew, has worked very hard to get the licensing and the permitting. And this has been really such a great relationship between the private business sector and the city of Jacksonville has been very, very supportive of this mm-hmm. event.
And let's talk about just the idea of celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Why do you think, I used to live in Chicago, and up there they dye that river green.
Right.
I mean, it's a huge deal. St. Patty's Day is getting bigger here in Jacksonville, isn't it?
It is. It is. I think it is because people, like you said, they like to have a block party. People like to hang out. They like to do it in a controlled environment where they know that they'll be safe and can have a good time without necessarily worrying. And it's kind of just a national day that we all celebrate to go ahead and let loose a little bit. So I think it's a little different that we do ours actually on St. Patrick's Day rather than on the weekend. This year it's on a Tuesday. But that's, I think people just need an excuse.
Yeah, exactly. So what all's going to be happening? Let's explain to people everything you've got going.
Well, Melissa, I'm happy to say that this year we have great music provided by Love Monkey. And it's our own Jacksonville's John Citroni.
Oh,
and
he's great.
He is fabulous. He will be emceeing the event. This year is the first year that we've decided to have a Mr. and Mrs. St. Patrick's Day costume contest.
Oh, very nice.
So we should have lots of fun with that.
What do people have to dress up as? Just whatever they want? Or
yeah, I would guess just whatever
green
they want.
Green is good.
Right. Anything green.
Right. But, people get kind of outrageous regardless. So this year, I guess we're going to reward them for that.
That's right.
What do they win?
We have cash prizes, and we have put together lots of baskets of coupons and gift cards for the surrounding businesses.
Now, let's explain exactly where the party goes from. It'll be outside your restaurants, Moss Fire and O'Brothers, but it goes a little beyond that.
So we are closing the street off on Margaret between Oak Street and Park Street. The live music is going to be set up on Herschel Street. We have two beer trucks. We have seven bars. We have barbecue. We have Asian food. We're going to have pizza. And we are also selling corned beef and cabbage.
Moss Very Fire, Irish.
Yes. The Moss Fire will be selling food, and also O'Brothers. Both restaurants will be open, selling food.
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun and big crowds expected. Hopefully good weather, too.
Yeah, last year it was on a Monday and it was raining all before, but people still came out. Luckily, the rain stopped. So this year, I think we're expecting great weather. So, yeah, it should be a good time.
One other thing I want to mention, Melissa, is all the sales, the proceeds for the 21 and over ID bands go back to the Five Points Merchants Association. So this goes directly into the neighborhood to keep providing advertising. We do a lot of landscaping and just the betterment of the neighborhood.
It's Jacksonville's biggest St. Patrick's Day street party in Five Points. Wear your green or you will get pinched. It's Erin Gobra along Margaret Street in Five Points. Again, it starts at it goes from 5 to
10.
10. So it's next Tuesday night, First Coast. If you've never hung out in the Five Points area, this is a great opportunity to come, enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy the restaurants, enjoy the music and the scene, enjoy St. Patrick's Day. Scooter Cavins, you and your husband started this, and kudos for growing it. And Rachel Brown, both of Mossfire and O Brothers, happy St. Patty's Day a little early, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having us, Melissa.
All right, have a great day.
And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our program is produced by Sean Birch. The show theme composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Chevchik. If you love the show, just catch our daily podcasts on iTunes. And if you have questions, email firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Next on Diane Rehm, a panel of journalists joins Diane for analysis of the week's top national news stories. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. Next week, make sure to tune in, as most of the mayoral candidates will be joining the show before the March 24th election. Hope you'll listen. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. Monday. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.